Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO.
Welcome to the Murph and Andy Show on 1460 KXNO. We've got sports and more until 4, but we start, as we should, on February 14th with a happy Valentine's Day. Andy, I was, I don't know, flattered, I guess, to see you wearing my tie on Today in Iowa.
Well, let me just tell you why. I apologize for that. I would have asked. I got up. I was greeted by a really nice candy bouquet that my kids and wife put together. Saw her greetings for the kids, Valentine's Day. There's Valentine's Day all over the kitchen. I saw that, right? At no time did it ever occur to me that I had worn a blue tie as I was, you know, there at home getting the last-minute preparations. Until I'm driving to work, it hits me, I didn't wear any red. I get to work, I'm like, maybe somebody else forgot, too. Jerry Ann, red dress. Megan, red dress. Christina, red dress. Maria, red dress. I had to do it.
Here at,
I raided your closet. There is a big old food stain on the end of that.
I know. That's why it's in the closet.
What is that? Is that chili?
It's an emergency backup tie. I'd rather not talk about what it is. Here at iHeart Studios, KXNO, AD's in a red shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the day.
It's Valentine's Day.
We have red hallways
here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
when though, did Valentine's Day turn into St. Patrick's Day, where you're, like, publicly ridiculed if you're not wearing red? Because I'll go ahead and confess, if you hadn't caught such a hard time, I would have never thought about wearing red.
I caught a really hard time, Keith. I don't think I can understate that. I really did.
I feel like you were bullied.
But Jerry Ann is always looking for something, you know, and I know that, so I try to come prepared. But I forgot today, and I was thankful for that little sports closet over there, which I hate to, you know, it's like, you know, going to Burger King or something to eat. I mean, it's a last resort.
Yeah, it's where food-stained ties go to die.
Yeah,
but
and I got a bunch of old ties over there.
When you need an emergency, it's there for you.
I might even have a red tie over there, but the first one I found was yours.
There's a couple of shirts in there that are absolute backups when needed.
Oh, yeah, and a couple of jackets, yeah. Way out of style.
Yeah, way, way out of style, but that's the way it goes. All right, Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. For those of you who listen to sports radio and have for, I don't know, years, in some cases more than a decade, Marty Terrell's voice is a familiar one.
I got to stay away from this thing. 284-5966, 866-333-5966. Hey, there is a ton going on.
Now, the man who helped bring sports radio to Des Moines is in jail as we speak. The FBI arrested Marty Terrell Wednesday. Terrell stands accused of defrauding people out of $1.5 million. There are six criminal federal charges. Terrell's accused of swindling at least eight people in sports tickets for profit scam. The indictment also alleges Marty Terrell lied to victims while using their money for his own needs. Also check kiting, bank fraud, and online court records include dozens, plural, of small claims and civil suits against Marty Terrell. And before we get into it, some credit here. Local 5 was the first to report this breaking news last night. But more significantly, Andy, City View stayed on this story for years. I mean, when it was being ignored by some of the other media, just relentless.
Yeah, they were. They were the ones doing the reporting. You'd see it in the Civic Skinny, Michael Gartner's column. And Michael Gartner may very well be the best reporter in the whole city. And he did that on his spare time. And I mean, the stuff, I mean, it was all public record, but the stuff that he dug up, I mean, just month after month, you would see something new about new charges against him, more and more money, and these amounts would just balloon to the point where I think the last one that I saw, I had Marty have judgments in excess of $3 million against him.
And so, this was somewhat, I guess, personal too for Michael Gartner.
Yeah,
right?
he was somebody that was taken by Marty Terrell as well. So when I saw this, and I've talked to a number of people today, I'm sort of helping reporting on, report on the story. We do have more on this coming up on the Channel 13 news tonight. I did some interviews today and sat in on a few interviews and had some phone conversations. And every person that I talked to said that they were surprised it was only $1.5 million and that there were only 24 of these small claims cases. They all thought that there were far more than that. One person that I talked to who worked for Marty in the past, had really good inside knowledge of him, said he thought it was probably about $5 million. So now these are other people talking to us through reporting.
Right, but you have to, a couple of things.
But through Michael Gartner's reporting, or Michael Gartner's reporting in CityView, you see all those amounts laid right out there in legalese.
Yeah, the feds wait until they feel like they have an airtight case to move. And sometimes you have allegations that maybe you can't quite prove or make stick. So that could be the reason the number is less than what many of those people expected. The other thing is, and this is what really resonates with me today as I think of this, there are these allegations come with many people who were hurt badly, mm-hmm. were harmed, in some cases had trouble recovering financially from some of the mistakes that they made, businesses and individuals who gave money and allegedly didn't get anything back for it, and then it hurt them in a really harmful way. So there's that, and I think in some cases, Andy, what you have in this kind of thing is there are other victims out here who are embarrassed and don't want to admit to it because you feel duped, you know, especially. And we know some people. I mean, we personally know some smart people that continued to get in business with Marty Terrell long after the rep was there, long after the court documents were in place, long after you could read about it in a local publication. They continued to get in business with Marty Terrell. And it's all hard to understand.
Some of the smartest businessmen in Iowa, some of the biggest names in Iowa.
Which goes to his salesmanship. I mean, he could sell people.
Yeah, I mean, he could talk them into doing something. He could play on their emotions or their vulnerabilities or their ego. I think a lot of times he did that. He would play on people's ego. He would put people on the radio.
He'd find the people that would want to be on the air.
He would put people on the air, make them feel, kind of pump them up, make them feel good, and then he'd take them. But, you know, I think, and we've read this before again in CityView, and Michael Gartner's reporting, that a lot of these judgments against him were, you know, big judgments, but there were so many small ones that just never came to light because the people that were taken by Marty were too embarrassed to admit it to everybody. And it got to the point where, as you said, I mean, there was a long history here. So when they got taken, you know, it was like one of those fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, you know, fool me, you know, 17, 18, 24 times, really fool on me, right? So they didn't even want to come forward. And then a lot of these big judgments that you would see made against him, these guys just knew they weren't going to collect a dime of this, but they were so angry. It was such a hit on their reputation, on their ego, that they wanted to, you know, pay the court costs, go through the legal system anyway.
Ben Aldak at Channel 13, along with Andy and Jared Giottinini, working on some stories today regarding the arrest of Marty Terrell, who faces some really serious charges and will appear in federal court today. One person we talked to, he first reached out to me this morning. His name is Chris Shipley. And he talked to Channel 13 on how Marty would take advantage of people like his father, who grew up poor and tried to make something of himself through his computer repair and sales business.
I think it was charismatic. He was very charismatic. He could talk to you on a level, and I think he sensed a lot of the things for my dad that he maybe didn't have, and would dangle those types of things in front of people like that. The opportunity and selling hope and things like that, all while knowing that he was never going to fulfill that. I think there's just a little bit of some evilness there.
That is Chris Shipley talking to Channel 13, and here's Chris Shipley on seeing Marty Terrell in handcuffs.
It just seems like a little bit of vindication for my dad that finally what he did to him and to a lot of other people are finally going to come to fruition. So it makes me feel better, but I don't take any pleasure in it.
I talked to another guy, PJ Caffrey, who's going to be on Channel 13, and just talked with him over at the studio. He said the same thing. He's very glad he's going to be down there in the front row at the federal courthouse to watch this today. And what happened to him happened 20 years ago. Still angry about it. You know, feels really bad for the people that got taken for their money. It's not a fun thing to be happy about because people, you know, were swindled. But he's happy this day is here. But, you know, for context, Chris shared his story with us of what happened to him. I think you should share that story. I think that's very interesting. And I will point out that while this sounds like an incredible, individual, unique story, it is not.
Yeah,
there are a number of stories.
I've heard
like
from
this.
Dozens of people over the years with similar stories, and I even on a small scale have one myself, which I can get to in a minute. But yeah, I'll try to cherry pick a little bit of this. But he says he met Marty in early 1997 when his dad started some radio advertising. Again, this is from Chris Shipley. After a few months, it was presented to us that we could sponsor the radio show's coverage of the Tyson Holyfield 2 fight in June of 97. We purchased the package for $5,000, including tickets and airfare to the event. We were to do live remotes and leading up to the event, then attend the event, and then do a post-fight call-in show. Leading up to that, Marty came by frequently updating us about the plans. Dad paid for all the spots and remotes and tickets. A month before the event, Marty came by and pitched an idea of buying Super Bowl ticket packages and then selling them later for profit. He offered to do the deal 50-50 with my dad. My dad proceeded to write him a $100,000 check. There's that $10,000.
$10,000.
Okay, yeah, I have trouble reading the amount of zeros there. $10,000 check. The deal was made. Fast forward to the Vegas trip for Tyson Holyfield. We stay in a not-so-great hotel. We proceeded to not do any live remotes. The day of the fight, we were told to meet Marty in the lobby of the MGM Grand. He would give us our tickets, and we could enjoy the fight. We went. He never showed. He left us hanging, holding the bag. He proceeded to ignore all our phone calls. The next morning, my father flew out early to come home, and I waited for Marty at the airport. We walked in. He said he couldn't find us and was worried. I warned him to not again start with any story unless it started with a full refund. He was never seen by us again. We ended up hiring a lawyer, going on the Channel 13 News, having a story written by Tom Witoski, former Des Moines Register reporter. After months of chasing him, we got a settlement from the radio station for $6,000 minus the third our lawyer got. We got $4,000 of our initial $15,000. He continued to do this to others all over town, alleges Chris Shipley. This was the beginning of the end of my dad's business. Losing $11,000 to a small business was a fatal blow. I've never forgiven what happened to my dad. Karma finally got Marty. Unfortunately, it's 22 years too late.
Said, his dad was depressed after that. Really, really, really affected him until the end of his life.
Felt duped. Felt stupid. And by the way, Andy, this is a small total compared to some of these. I mean, it was a lot for Chris Shipley and his dad. But in some cases,
some of these are hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of dollars over and over and over and over again over a number of years. And he worked all over the place. Right. I mean, he did. He jumped all around. Obviously, he was here sitting in that seat.
Yeah. But he was fired here.
He was fired here.
And Joel McCrae
and not
made
allowed
that
to come back. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Wanted to come back a number of times.
Yep.
Was not allowed to. Yeah, Joel McCrae made that stick.
Credit to him for that, because Marty had the gift of gab, whatever you want to call it. He could talk people into ninth chances, tenth chances. And it's kind of fascinating because it is one of those cases where, to me, it seems like you have this person who can talk people, even with, you know, as the years went on, low ratings, mm-hmm. shows with no buzz, and he could continue to talk people into giving up their money or giving him a show. So clearly he had some salesmanship and persuasion, and if that could have been used for the good, he certainly could have been successful. Broadcasting-wise, he's now kind of known as a caricature, but he had talent. He just didn't use it for the good. He was a bomb thrower that quickly would.
He had talent, but he was not a good broadcaster. You're not you're not a good broadcaster if you go on the air and lie.
If you don't have credibility, you're not a good broadcaster.
Lying on the air, right. It makes you a bad broadcaster.
Here's a for instance for people to figure out, because there was a time where when Marty and Miller first started, everybody listened to the show.
There was no sports talk.
Yeah,
they
started.
First. Yeah,
and they had a hit, and people listened, and you could hear it. And Marty would go on the air, and he would say things, and it created
scream fire in the movie theater.
Perfect example. There's a perfect example of screaming fire in the movie theater. But over time, so much of that proved to be made up or an outright lie that after a while you get desensitized to it. And over the years, it was fascinating how irrelevant the show became, and yes. To the point where he didn't even know he was still working here. Like, I had somebody tell me one time, yeah, did you know Marty has a show on Mediacom? I was like, what?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I had no idea. You know, and apparently it was still on the radio at that time, but nobody was talking about it. There's no buzz, no ratings. Because
never heard anything.
Nobody took
it
seriously anymore. Yeah, the show fell off a cliff. And to give you an example of how something like that could happen, because you might think, well, how can that happen? If we hired a host to do a new show starting Monday here on KXNO, and on his first day on the air, he came on and yelled in a loud voice that sounded very confident that he knows Matt Campbell is going to be coaching in the NFL next season, and that Kirk Ferentz is a phony, mm-hmm. and he yelled these things Monday, you know what all of the listeners listening to that show would do Tuesday? They would listen to that show.
No doubt, no doubt.
But over time,
it would be talked about across social media. It would make its way back to those coaches.
For sure. But over time, they would see
Who said it,
and
tune it out immediately.
That those weren't true. You lose credibility, you start to lose your audience, and that fades. And that is what happened. And just on a broadcasting matter here, it was 11 years ago, Chris Hassel did a sketch on Sound Off. Here's a little bit of it.
Welcome to a Mazzotti's Monday! Marty and Miller radio program coming to you live from the Direct Satellite TV studios. We'll talk the water sports right up until 7 o'clock. Corey Cut along the way.
Now, that was our friend Chris Hassel. It was fantastic. He also did Ken Miller's voice on that sketch. It was a Marty and Miller.
That's where we had him in the voicing booth at Channel 13.
He played both parts, and it was great. People mm-hmm. loved it.
I was just listening to that today, and I was thinking how well that's held up.
Yes, and from that point on, one of the questions I get the most after any Sound Off clip show, like Sound Off 1000 or Sound Off 900 or a best of show on Christmas, people would say, where is Chris Hassel doing Marty? I mean, it's over the years, it's been, especially from people who care about sports talk radio, the most requested thing we've done. Well, we reached a point where when Marty was at his most desperate and the show was failing and nobody was listening to it, it became clear to us that what Marty was trying to do is bait us into giving him attention to remind people that he was still on the air. So we decided, I think I decided and Andy, you agreed with me, and we told Chris what we were going to do is ignore him. You know, he's going to continue to say nasty things about us on the air, or he's going to float some rumor out there. He's trying to bait us mm-hmm. into reminding everybody he's still around. We're going to ignore. So we did not air that sketch again. And it's brilliant.
Case in point, if you search Marty Terrell on YouTube,
yeah,
the first thing that comes up is Chris doing Marty, making fun of Marty with a sketch.
Not surprised.
15,000 views. The second thing that comes up is Chris again making fun of Marty, impersonating him
on
sitting
RV
in
TV.
The RV.
Yep.
6,300 views. And then finally is actually something that is really Marty with 67 views.
Yeah, Chris as Marty is more viewed than Marty as Marty. And that's
not even close.
Yeah, and so that is what we realized is we're not going to pull him back into the spotlight. That's what he wants. Because it I mean, we're, you know, Andy, you and I, like we're way, way, way down on the list of people who have been hurt by Marty. Mm-hmm. But it got to the point for me where, like, somebody would come up to me and they would say, did you hear what Marty said about you? Or did you hear what Marty said about Andy today? And I'd say, I don't want to know.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to hear it. Don't even tell
me. Because you could avoid it easily.
Yeah.
You
could just say, nobody's listening to the show anymore.
It would turn out that that was the only person that heard it.
Yeah.
Or one of the few people that did. But, I mean, some of the stuff, you couldn't, you would hear about him saying it, and it you would absolutely was impossible to ignore. I mean, you would hear him insulting the looks of the female anchors, our friends at Channel 13.
Mm-hmm.
Personal insults about their appearance.
Our general manager, Dale Woods, would no longer allow him in the building.
He was not allowed in the building, and mm-hmm. So then he went after Dale. So we heard.
Yeah.
Again, we didn't hear it. We heard of it.
Never listened
went
anymore.
Went after Dale. Dale, again, to his credit, just the man was dead to him.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't care. But, yeah, I mean, it was amazingly easy to ignore him because he was just gone.
But he was still here.
He was still
out.
Getting people to give him money.
Though. And smart people with successful businesses. I don't get it.
Cockroaches aren't that resilient. That was, you weren't sure what to be more impressed about, right? I mean, the fact that people would continue to give him money or that he would actually have the balls to go up and ask people for more money. I mean, what's more ridiculous, the fact that he would keep walking in and asking for money or that people would not slam the door in his face?
That they wouldn't slam the door in his face.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he had all of these... All of this stuff
I know.
In his world, he would
it's
continue to do that.
And I know firsthand for some
I mean,
balance.
Somebody just operating completely untethered from the truth,
mm-hmm.
devoid of conscience, that's hard to imagine somebody living a life like that, right? I mean, that's really hard. It's even more difficult to understand somebody opening a door for somebody like that.
It is. And I have a little bit of glimpse just on a personal level of how it will work in... In 2001, our good friend and former Channel 13 sports reporter Todd Bailey, we had his bachelor party at Fenway Park. And Marty heard about this on the air and called me, and he invited us all, the whole bachelor party, to this family party he had, and could not have been nicer to us. He was a gracious host, went, you know, it was all... really good and thoughtful. It was a nice thing to do. And then, I don't know, a month or two later, I'm listening on the air, because this is back when people listened to Marty and Miller, because we're going back almost 20 years here. And I hear him just, like, shredding you and me on the air. And I see him a few days later, and... I don't know what to say. And I was like, I heard you talking about, why would you say, it's radio. It's just a radio thing. I mean, smiling, shaking my hand, couldn't have been happier. You see me almost like some disconnect there between humanity. He just immediately couldn't understand why that would even trouble me.
Why, I guess, couldn't understand why anybody would ever think that he was telling the truth there.
He was so clearly lying
about that. I can't believe you guys didn't get that.
So then the next year, we're back up there, not the whole bachelor party, but Todd and I are back there, And Marty talks us in. I mean, again, couldn't have been nice. And could have been nicer. He talks us into going to this really nice, fancy lodge that, you know, in Massachusetts, I would never even think of staying in because it was so expensive. Right. I had whole things on me. I've got it to go. It's wonderful. This place was fantastic. We couldn't believe how nice it was to stay there. We go to check out the next day. They have no idea what we're talking about. And this is a point in my life where I don't have any money saved. And I started perspiring. This is a tiny scale compared to like what these people have been through.
So you were stuck with that bill?
I got completely stuck with the bill. So we called Marty. He's like, "Oh, that's an accounting error. They'll I'll make this good. Don't worry about it. I'll get this reversed." Of course, never did, which is a common story. Never had it reversed. And we're talking here like, you know, $500 each. This wasn't 20 years ago was a lot of money for me, but this is a drop in the bucket to the pain some of these people.
Why did you keep speaking to him?
I don't know.
And I think right there,
that's what
we're talking about.
Well, I reached the point then, and then we went into ignore mode because...
Well, it's easy to say that.
Something about you that caused me to... I just said, that's it. We're done. He's going on... It's ignore mode. We're not going to publicize him. We're not going to give this failing radio show any attention. We're moving on. And we did.
And why would he ever say anything bad about me or you or Aaron
attention
or Sonia? I mean, people that didn't do anything to him, didn't have any contact with him.
No,
do anything.
No conscience.
Jealousy.
Attention.
Probably.
I don't even know there was jealousy.
Jealous that we had attention and he didn't. I don't know what it was. I mean, you would just randomly pick somebody to say awful things about?
I don't know
for
the
no
answer because there's some dark heart here, but
there's a lot of that.
I did see some kind heart too, but it was such a small little window, and then I was there when we were there one time. This would be 2002. He was back in Boston doing radio because he moved back there for a while, but then had to flee the state because they were looking for, they had a warrant out for him there, I believe. That's what I've been
told.
I've
heard that too. Yep.
So he was in Boston at the time. So he's doing Boston radio at one of the sports bars, like right around Fenway Park. And, you know, he leans over to me and says something like, and I'm not going to get the words right. This is just a paraphrasing example. He says, watch this. Watch me get these phones going. And come back from break, and it's like, the Red Sox aren't even going to make the playoffs. The Red Sox aren't going to make the playoffs. Just book it. Disagree with me. Call me. Like all 20 lines. Just light up a
fire in the movie theater.
And he didn't even believe that. And again, that wasn't what he said. I don't remember exactly what he said. But it was something he did not believe, but he knew he could manipulate people into calling. He did. And that was his point. Watch this.
Right, and I heard that a number of times as I was talking to people today, and that they would listen to him say things that were just completely, totally made up stuff.
Yep.
That he would not have any knowledge of, that he didn't know anything about, and he would just, for whatever reason, to get attention, to be mean, whatever, he would say them anyway. And you'd be like, not only is that, do you not know that that's true? You don't know, you wouldn't know how to go about finding out whether that was true or not. But it would just do it anyway, and then would continue to get these chances. And, you know, for a long time, he was just buying time, buying time on radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to, you know, they're in business. They're going to sell that to whomever. And then he would stay on for a while. He would sell the advertising himself and keep that money. And then not pay the bill for the radio station, he would get booted off of that radio station. And some of these people would just say, well, you know, it's not worth going to small claims court over. I'll spend a lot more money on legal fees, or almost as much money on legal fees as I'll recoup, and I'll look like a fool for dealing with Marty Terrell.
He made me a better broadcaster because seeing this made me decide I'm not going to take a stance for the sake of taking a stance. I'm not going to argue on air just to try to create some fake hot take good radio. I'm not going to leave nuance out of a discussion just because if we do that, it's more confrontational. I'm going to take this and try to be real from it. So that has helped. But as we talk about the radio side of this, just want to come back as we end this, want to come back to the real victims here. These allegations, I mean, there are some people that if they haven't had their lives ruined or their businesses ruined, they've been embarrassed. They've felt anger about it for a long time. They feel duped. In many cases, they took what they thought was going to be a dream vacation, and it turned into a nightmare. They're still not over. So there are some real victims here, and those victims aren't really the people in broadcasting. Those victims are the people like Chris Shipley, who feels terrible to this day of what happened to his dad.
And if you would read City View and Civic Skinny, you would see him way behind on child support payments.
That's real. That's,
I mean, yeah. Swindling other people while not paying for your own child. That's a horrible thing. Does anybody remember the Jim Rome thing, too? I mean, that's come up a number of times. That was before I got here, but I've heard about that many times.
I told the newsroom today, if they go back about 20 years, because the news director contacted me. The news director at that time contacted me to remind me that Jim Strickland did a story about Marty allegedly ripping off the Jim Rome show.
Well, he brought Jim Rome here somehow. Then I think it was Jim Rome.
The tour stop type deal.
The tour stop. Yeah. Jim Rome doesn't sell tickets to his events. He just lets people come in and watch. But the claim was, it was told to me, and again, I don't know that this is true or not, but this was what was told to me, was that Marty sold tickets to that event. And Jim Rome found out about that. And he either didn't get paid for his, or he found out that that was going on and got very upset. And then for a number of years after that, really just trashed the city of Des Moines because of him.
And if you want to see what all of this looks like in a younger person in the year 2019, watch a Fyre Festival documentary. More Murph and Andy Show after this.
Go! Your one-stop shop for everything that is sports and more. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Play a little Guess Whose Birthday, powered by Cellular Advantage.
Let's do it.
Andy, you're up first. Guess Whose Birthday?
With the second pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins select quarterback Baylor.
It's Robert Griffin III.
That's right.
Not Griffith. Name. Yeah, we've already started
already
forgetting
his name.
He is he's 28 now.
He's 29, so you get the point. Well done. Murph, guess whose birthday?
Three-point contest going to be held tonight. It features Golden State's Splash Brothers.
Defending champion Steph Curry, the runner-up from last year.
Klay Thompson.
That's right.
Klay Thompson is 29.
He is 29. Well done. You had the lead. Andy, guess whose birthday?
Here to talk about his family is our own drunk uncle.
Everything happens so fast now, Seth. You know, one second it's Halloween. And, you know, and the next second it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Arbor Day, 4th of July, Christmas again.
Never thought that was a very funny sketch.
I love drunk uncle.
Bobby Moynihan.
That's right.
He's 38.
He's 42, so it's a miss. Murph, guess whose birthday?
Is that Shakira?
It is.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Shakira is 46.
She's 42, but you still win. So I'm a chicken
bandit. Okay, I'll take it. Her hips don't lie. You and I could not miss last night. 16 threes against Illinois State, made more than 50% of the shots behind the arc. So you and I turns back Illinois State. The same time, Loyola loses. So looky here on Valentine's Day, the Drake Bulldogs are a game out of first. Wow.
This is coming too easy, right? Isn't this coming too easy?
It's hard to believe.
Looking too easy?
Hard to believe.
Darren DeVries' first year, lost Nick Norton, lost a bunch of guys to graduation last year. Loyola went to the Final Four. Even when they're not winning, they're still gaining ground right now. Even when they're not playing, they're gaining ground.
I thought the Nick Norton loss was...
Yeah, the death knell, right?
Yeah, I mean, for any realistic, really good season, like a 20-win season.
Yeah, right.
He was so good.
You don't think 20-win seasons for Drake, ever.
Well,
never.
Not unless you're in the 60s. There's been one since.
If you're in the 60s. I mean, you don't... The only time it's ever happened recently was a year that nobody saw coming.
It was lightning in a bottle.
Absolutely. And that was a legitimately great team.
Tom Davis didn't win 20 games.
Nope. I think Gary Garner won... He might have had like an 18 or 19 win season or something. He had a good year in 85, 86, I think. But, this year was just like a reset button year.
Drake, by the way, does not have 20 wins yet. They're at 19.
No, they don't.
But expecting.
But, I mean, we're one win away.
Let's credit the Murph and Andy Show listeners here. We saw listeners, voters, actually put aside their fandom and make the right choice for Coach of the Year to this point of the Big Four this season. I mean, that's no small thing. Didn't Darren DeVries win the poll overwhelmingly? It's hard to...
Going away, I think 60-some percent.
Yeah, 65, 68% or something. Yeah.
I mean, the comment I saw over and over again was, you have to kind of grade something like this relative to expectations.
Mm-hmm. Iowa and Iowa State are at where people thought they should be.
Yeah, I think more or less that's true.
And Drake has wildly exceeded expectations.
And UNI is under.
I think people like that he's an Iowan.
Yes.
I really do. I think that like buys him credit.
He knows the farmer's wave.
He does. Remember we quizzed him?
Yeah, he looked a little nervous at first, like, man.
He's like, what am I up against? Yeah, started hitting him with the loose meat and everything. And
then he relaxed.
He ate it up.
Now he knows he can trust us. All right, we have a quickie poll. Andy, as we go to this quickie poll, you're going to want to have the Drake, Iowa, and Iowa State basketball schedules in front of you, okay? Let's get to the quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas at Murph_Andy on Twitter. And you can also find us on Facebook and KXNO.com.
Check a schedule. Who ends up with the most regular season wins? Is it Drake, Iowa, or Iowa State? So Drake, 19 wins, 5 games to go. Iowa, 19 wins, 7 games to go. Iowa State, 18 wins, 7 games to go.
Well, Drake, I think you probably have to cross them out of there, right? I mean,
depends who they're playing.
They have two fewer games.
I don't have the schedule in front of me. Do you have it, AD?
They don't have any more with Loyola. They have, let's see, home against Valpo.
That's a win.
Home against Bradley.
That's a win.
At Illinois State.
That could be tough.
Home against Indiana State.
That's a win.
And at Missouri State, where crazy things happen.
Crazy things happen there. I see.
Let's say 3-2 there.
All right, so let's say we get that. Let's say we get Drake to 22. All right, we got Drake at 22. We're just, of course, guessing. All right, what else do we got?
What do you want to do? A little Iowa or a little Iowa State?
Let's hear Iowa. Where's Iowa right now?
Iowa's got 19 wins, okay. 19-5.
All right,
they're at Rutgers this weekend.
I'd hesitate to say, but that should be a win.
Home against Maryland.
Ooh,
that should be a win.
That should be a win. It's Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Home against Indiana.
That should be win. A win.
At Ohio State.
Ohio State
has been in and out of the rankings. Yeah, right?
Let's say we don't know on that. Let's go L there.
Home against Rutgers.
Oh, geez. So yeah, okay.
There's 4 wins.
They're 23 right
then
there.
Then at Wisconsin.
That's a loss.
And at Nebraska.
That's a win because Nebraska's had
Giving Iowa 5-2 for the final 7.
So you got them at 24?
So I have them at 24.
Okay, we got Drake at 22. This is scientific. What do we have Iowa State?
Okay, we got at K-State.
Boy, Chris Williams has already called a win there, an upset. It's possible.
It's possible. I don't know that we...
I'm not going to count that
as a loss. Okay, so 0-1. Home against Baylor.
That's a win.
Another tough team, but barely lost to them in Waco.
So that gets Iowa State to 19 there?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
How about this? Yep. At TCU.
That's a win.
Yeah, that's a revenge win. I'm giving a win there. I agree.
I think it's three in a row now for TCU. I heard them talking on Hawk or Cyclone Insider the other night. Like maybe Jamie Dixon has kind of figured something out with Steve Prohm's team.
I did notice Jamie Dixon can coach. But yeah. Let's say between K-State and TCU, Iowa State gets one of those. So that's 20.
Home against Oklahoma.
That's a win.
That's a win.
How about at Texas?
That could go either way. Yeah. We saw that game at Hilton.
I think that's a loss.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Iowa's the answer here.
Okay, at West Virginia.
That's a win.
They're down to three players.
Yeah.
That's such a weird place. So they beat Kansas in that building.
But they've lost five players since.
Yeah, right. And then home against Texas Tech.
That should be what it's close. I'd put Iowa first, Iowa State second, Drake third.
If you just don't know what you're going to get.
I feel like
I have a better idea of what I'm going to get from Drake than from Iowa or Iowa State. And how strange is that?
That's strange.
I really do feel like they're more consistent.
Hey, here's an interesting fact. We're coming back with Throwdowns next.
Hey, it's Chris and Ross from the Sports Fanatics. Join us every day at 4.
You can listen from your home or office with Alexa. Just say, Alexa, play 1460 KXNO on iHeartRadio. It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
All right, let's throw it down. Murph, I was ranked higher than Iowa State in the AP poll, but the Cyclones are ranked higher in the net and in KenPom. Iowa has a better record by one game, but the Cyclones have a shot to win a conference championship. Iowa won the head-to-head, but Iowa State has more quality wins. Who is having a better season, Iowa or Iowa State?
Wow, it's something that's easy to build a case either way, and it depends on whether you're building the case around the rivalry, which I'm not going to do here. So I think it's Iowa State. Iowa State routed Kansas, won at Ole Miss and at Texas Tech. Those are two real quality road wins against ranked teams, including a top 10 team. They both have a bad loss or two, but I think it's close, but I'd say Iowa State.
Yeah, and it's amazing the difference that this past weekend makes, right? And just if Iowa loses that game, I don't think it's close. If Iowa State wins that game, I don't think it's close. But Iowa won and Iowa State got embarrassed. So, yeah, it's really close right now. I think I agree with Keith there and still do give the edge to Iowa State just based on the quality of those road wins. Where this team was at, certainly what they've overcome this season, where Iowa's had, they've only added to last year's team.
Andy, Ben Simmons attempted his third three-pointer of the season earlier this week. It was a miss, another miss, and teams aren't even guarding him now on the perimeter. Would you rather have a player who knows his limitations and doesn't attempt shots outside of his range, or one that will keep trying and keep the defense honest?
I'd rather him know his limitations and play within his own game. He's a great player inside the three-point line. He can make a living inside there, already has. I don't want him up there throwing away possessions. It's something he's not good at. I mean, too often we see college players that are clearly having a bad game. They keep shooting and shooting and shooting, and the coach doesn't pull them out of the game, and you just end up giving away points to the opponent.
I would rather have him stay within his own limitations. I think you play to your strengths. You don't try to overcome your weaknesses. And if he goes out there and fires up a bunch of threes, those are just lost possessions, and they're still not going to make the defense guard him. I assume he knows he can't make those on a consistent basis. So I think he's doing this the right way. The 76ers just have to make sure that they have guys who can make the three, and they just added Harris, so they're already thinking about it. And Embiid can hit a three.
Yeah. Murph, you're scrolling through Twitter and you see something that you really like. Do you comment? Do you hit like? Do you retweet? Do you do all of those things? Do you do none of those things?
It varies, and it's changed for me over the years. I used to use the like as a bookmark, but now Twitter has added an actual bookmark. And the problem with like as a bookmark is, say, I saw somebody just trashing Andrew Downs as a radio producer. I might bookmark it to set it aside, but somebody else would see that heart and think, gosh, Murphy liked that guy trashing Andrew Downs? I thought they were friends. So I'm glad to be away from that. But what I do now mostly is if I see something that I like enough to share with followers. I think they'll like it too. I retweet it. And if it's just something like Andy posted a photo of how cute his dog is, I might hit the heart.
How do you bookmark?
You hit the bookmark.
Where's the bookmark? I really don't know where the bookmark is. Is this?
Yeah. Add to bookmarks.
Add to bookmark. This little share thing. I was only using that as a the share.
Yeah,
thing.
Now it's saved.
It's under the little share arrow. The share-o.
Look at that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you learned something. Thank you for throwing that. Yeah,
clearly, you're much more Twitter savvy than I am, but I sometimes do all three, which is, I don't know. I think that's okay. I mean, if I like it, I like it. If it's something that I want to comment on or make sure that a whole bunch of other people see, or do both comment and make sure other people see, then I retweet it. And if I just want to answer the person or write back, join the conversation, then I do that. But sometimes I want to do all three of those things.
All right, the poll is up on Twitter at Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
That is our number one of the Murph and Andy show here on 1460 KXNO. We're glad you're with us on this Valentine's Day. It's been a really romantic show so far. We'll continue the love with a trending Iowa starting hour two right here on this iHeart. There's a Valentine's reference.
There you go.
iHeart radio station.